home on a truck driving around. He was doing something called the old spinning wheel. But his version of everything. Well, look at Willie Nelson. He had a unique about everything he did.
Pretty, I mean, I didn't know. At work, we sometimes, I don't do it as much. I've done it twice, but I love it when it happens. When it kind of dies down or it's like after hours, my coworkers will put on some tunes, and they're usually pretty eclectic. We have one guy that plays traditional Mexican tunes. It's awesome. We have another guy that likes the Grateful Dead. We have somebody that likes rockabilly and punk, and I kind of lost my train of thought, but what I try, I mean, it made me think Independence Day. It's like, I've never seen Spielberg's like Close Encounters of the Third Kind, but they say math and music is like the universal language, so like much like you're doing with me, I like electronic music a lot. I've been listening to it since the 90s, and oftentimes it can be very good and emotional, and a lot of times some people don't like it. They're like, it has drum machines, oh, it's not somebody. But I'll be like, look, you know, like, usually I'll be like, this person was a classical composer. I try to give, and you probably like to do it too, I don't know. I like to introduce folks to new music. One of my DJ heroes, her name's Annie Mack. She's a British DJ, and she talks about like how she likes doing it. There's a famous DJ that lived here for a while in the 60s, John Peel, that does it. And John Peel in particular would play this type of music, very fast electronic music that I don't like, called happy hardcore, but he would like champion it and say, this has worth, this has value. Who are you to say? But what I like to do is, I remember I was at the beach outside Santa Cruz one time, and there's this Icelandic band called Sukkar Rose, and they make up their own language. So they talk not in English, right? And then they just played here at the Warfield. It's very atmospheric, and they use mostly traditional type instruments. I don't think they use anything electronic, right? But it's so like that artist Björk that people love. It's like it kind of brings everything together, and it can, like, when I first heard Beale Street Caravan, I was like, oh, what is this? Or like dub music, if you know that, from reggae, and it's just like, it sounds so crazy.
Well, there's a group called The Residents.
Yes, I met one of those guys recently,
and they recorded an entire album on children instruments.
That's super cool.
Instruments that
you can go buy for $5, the little
kids.
Yep. Everyone knows the little piano that's like this high,
yes,
right?
Right. They went and did the whole album on kids' instruments. It was a strange sounding album. And everything they did was strange sounding.
Experimental, right? Because it's sort of like they and you know what, I feel like it's interesting now, and I really have seen this with bluegrass becoming, I feel like, really popular at the end of the 90s. You know what I mean? That's when I started getting into it. It's like we've done now, like, so much, and I'm not capping, I guess I am in a little bit. It's like I hear a lot of auto-tune stuff, and I'm like, I'm not even hearing the person's like original voice and the nuances and different voices, and it's like, that just doesn't sound pleasant to me, and it makes me want to go back and listen to like Nancy Wilson or something, you know?
If you go farther back, everybody had a distinct sound. When the music started, you knew who it was.
That's the biggest thing you could take, and nowadays you don't.
You don't. It's all formula.
Formulaic, yes.
It's all formula.
Right.
You can't tell in the first 8 bars who's going to do what. And it used to be, in the first 2 notes, you knew who that was.
That happened to me. You know what? I impressed somebody, and we were on a car going to Marin, and I knew the producer's work, but I didn't know this particular song or this particular album. And, like, right away I said, that's so-and-so. And, like, the guy driving, like, looked at me like, what the fuck, you know? And it's just, like, because I know, and it's, I think a lot of, I've been meaning to research the 1996 Telecommunications Act. I think that has a lot to do with it. But I think also, now there's so much money involved that, like, doing something a little bit different. Like, if this sold a million copies, we want something that sounds just like this because we want to sell 2 million copies or whatever.
Everybody wants to copy what was successful. Nobody ever mistook Buddy Holly. Nobody ever mistook him for somebody else.
Who's another artist that, like, really, really sounds unique to you? That whole ever, and luckily we get these great films like La Bamba. I know all that stuff from La Bamba, right? Like, yeah. That great film with Richie Valens. And I gotta tell you, I heard, and as popular as that was, I feel like there was like 1987 or 88 it came out, and it was great. And I started to really appreciate music from 20 years before. Because when you're young, you kind of... I did. It's like, you want to listen to this stuff. Oh, come on. That's your parents' music or whatever, right? But, like, I heard La Bamba recently, like, the full original, and it freaking blew me away because it has that break at the end where they get, like, traditional Mexican... Can you do anything like that? Like what do you think? Can you... It's probably hard on the fiddle, right?
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I grasped it. I don't think I got that feel.
What was a breakthrough moment for you? Because I have like two guitars in my room, and I every once in a while I.
Me too. I got a 12-string and a 6-string.
Do you really?
Yeah. I got three auto harps. I got an Irish harp. I got a mandolin.
What's an Irish harp look like? Is it just a smaller version of a?
Yeah, it's just a little lap harp.
Yeah.
It's just 32 strings, but you know, it's only about yay high.
Yep.
But it's something I like to mess with. But you got to be really in a calm, quiet place in the room to start.
I feel like, because there's no, is it, because I feel like a mandolin, I could be wrong, has one string on top of the other. Is that right or no?
It's four parallel strings. Two D's, two A's, and two E's.
Right, but they're like, right, but there's two together.
They're side by side.
Oh, they're not on top, they're side by side.
Side by side.
But there's two, it's spaced much closer than the guitar string. Okay.
Yeah.
So a harp, I'm wondering, especially like since you have one, an Irish harp, what is the string configuration like?
I haven't figured that out.
Okay.
I really have not. One day I went into a music store in San Francisco, and they had a harp in the window, and I got up on the stage, it was about yay high, and I got up on there, and I started just plucking the strings to see what it was, and the guy brought a chair, I was sitting in the window, and he brought me a chair and said, "We've never had anybody touch a harp before, do you want a chair?" And he brought me a chair, and I sat down.
And you immediately started playing black metal, and they kicked you out of the store.
I'm trying to figure out what it does, and then a big crowd gets outside the window, and they're all looking at me.
See, that's where... And they thought, like, look at the world famous harpist from... He's from Blackpool. Like, you just make up like in a language that doesn't exist. See, that's where I did sales for a long time. That's where... As a salesman, then I fuck with everybody.
I was just curious. I wanted to see how it was tuned. And I just started plucking a little bit, and the guy brought me a chair and sat, and the next thing I know, there's a bunch of people looking in the window.
He knew what he was doing. Yeah, because no one walking by, that's the last thing you expect, maybe in San Francisco, but like that's pretty much the last thing you expect is to walk by a window and there's someone playing a harp.
Well, I wasn't playing it. Testing it out.
Did you buy that one or did you down no. the road? Yeah.
No, I just, you know, I left the store. I think I bought a guitar out of there before I left, but I was just in there and I'm fascinated. Here's this thing sitting there ready to play, and I don't know what it sounds like. Nothing. So I just started testing.
So where are the? Because it seems like I'm just trying to figure the harp. Out. I've seen people playing it. how does the sound amplify? What makes the strings? We know how it works on a piano or a guitar. Like, how does the sound get out? Because it seems like there's nothing amplifying the strings.
I think the frame of the harp is hollow.
That makes total sense. It's like almost like a... Okay, now I'm picturing like a bow that has just the outside shell.
Yes, and it's hollow.
Like a bamboo shoot, if you sliced it in half, that would be that.
Yeah.
Interesting. Wow. What do you want to play now?
Oh, I wasn't thinking of anything.
You came up like you were in a...
I'm always ready to... Yeah, but most of the time, I look at the other person and say, lead the way.
Ah.
Lead on.
We should. Okay, you know what? Okay, this is going to be... I don't think this guitar is in tune. This is not going to be in tune. I know just enough to guitar to know that it's not going to be in tune. But if it is in tune, I can get some, like, C and G chords going. So let me... This is Fiat Chase reaching for the instrument that's not going to be in tune. Let's see.
Oh, we'll see.
This is really now going to get me to play guitar. All right. It's in tune! All right, so you'll at least know this one. Now I want to hear myself. This is the first time I'm going to put the mic down. I know the opening bars from Pretty Woman. That's it. And then you can do whatever. So I'll start you off, and then you do whatever. Oops, I should probably get... Me either.
Oh, okay.
And then I'm going to get into some Australian death metal. You play, and then I'll see if I can make anything that sounds anything good along.
I'm trying to find the keys. Where you are, where the guitar is tuned.
Play something country. Now, I wish I had a pick. What can I use for a pick? Like a Christmas song, I felt like. It had that Christmas feel. So now I'm gonna get that inspired me so much because I feel like if I did that, if I took a recording like that and played for like a month, just like messing around, I could come up with something that would be an accompaniment to that.
Uh huh. Yeah. Oh, that's really a good way to learn. Is to play. I learned a lot playing with 78 records.
Ooh. I don't know anything about it. You know what's become my, and I hope folks at home can hear, I've fallen in love with the 45 format, which is like just about the same. You can just fit like one more song on a 78, right? That's the deal?
Well, there's only one song on 78.
Oh, there's only one. So a 45 can hold more music than a 78. Yeah. Oh, I thought it was the other way around. Okay.
No. The 45 goes at a higher speed, at a slower speed.
I am so... Okay, actually, this could be a fun segment, too. I just thought of that. With all your musical knowledge. Okay. Dave Clark 5. Name one of their songs.
Oh. Well, I've heard of the band, but I do not know their songs.
How about, I'm going to look for one that seems...
That's strange, because I didn't listen to very many 45s. It was 78.
And I feel like, is 78, was that, I bet it was, less expensive to produce because there's only one song on it, right? So maybe areas like, you know where I want to go? I've never been. And I mean, it's an impoverished area, and I like would hope to travel all over the world and see impoverished areas. But like Appalachia, like I would I'm pretty much a redneck. I have so many redneck qualities, and I don't know if that's a term that they would like necessarily. But I appreciate like so much of their culture, right? Which,
well, I heard somebody from Appalachia. He was asked a question: "Are you a hillbilly?" And he said, "Well, I'm from Old Hill Williams."
Nice to give that like class to kind of like, I love that. See, that's a sense of humor. Absolutely. I dated a girl from her mom. She said her mom built her own house, lived an hour's drive from the closest town. So this girl called herself a hillbilly painter. You know what I mean? And this is in California, but there's so many like New York State. There's some really rural, small areas.
Yes.
Where you can get out there.
So I've heard. You
know? Have you ever spent any time in New York City? Let me ask you that.
Oh, I was there a couple of times, but I didn't spend more than a week at a time there. I was in Times Square for about a week. I went to the...
What year was this?
1965 World's Fair.
Wow. How come they don't have the World's Fair anymore?
I don't know where that is. I don't know where they're having it now.
They don't have them anymore. That might have been one of the last ones.
Wow. I never thought of it that way.
Or maybe they just don't have them. They don't have them in the United States anymore. Or maybe they don't advertise. Because I can't remember the last World... Oh, yeah, the World's Fair is going to be in Sydney. It's like, we should go to that? Like, no.
Oh, yeah. I think that's probably it. Traveling around the world.
Yeah, we've gotten at least... I think before... So the you probably do know this. To celebrate, one of the things I was talking about on my walking tour, celebrate wasn't the word I was going to use. So the Panama Pacific Exhibition was held, it was an event that I think became, it was like the World's Fair, right? And it was held in San Francisco after the construction of the Panama Canal, I believe. Wow. And that was the event. It was down by the marina. And so the original structure, it was supposed to be just a temporary structure. Like the Eiffel Tower was like part of the World's Fair. It was, I think it's the last remaining thing of these temporary monuments. But that stayed, and now we have the Palace of Fine Arts that was constructed for the Panama Pacific World Exhibition, which was like a World's Fair that was held in San Francisco. I just found out that the World Cup is going to be here. Are you?
Yes.
I'm excited. You're excited too? Do you know how much money busking you're going to make? Can you please? I should film you. We can do another happy horseshit segment if you want and come on during the World Cup, because I feel like that is a great place for, like, what else? To me, like, I'm so touched that I met you and I love the way you play. Like, are you looking forward to, do you have any plans on busking at the World Cup, or are you just a soccer fan and you're like, this is gonna be cool?
Oh no, I'm more into football.
Nice. American football?
Yes.
Tell me,
I watch American football.
I am too. So tell me an American football, like, who's the best defensive and offensive player you've watched?
Wow. I know, I just saw a couple of kickers that the guy hasn't missed a field goal all season.
That's interesting.
A half a dozen, way over 50 yards.
I can't even...
Like, kicking a 60-yard field goal is mind-blowing to me.
It's super important, and now they have, rightly so, I think, because... Do you think they did I think they made a wise decision, and what they did in the NFL was they narrowed the goalposts a little bit, because I feel like, I know this for a fact, so many games were just decided at the end, and you leave it up to the kicker when you have all, and not to take away from the kicker, right? And it's a great thing to have, because your team could have an 80-yard drive, or like, let's say 60-yard drive, you get stopped on the 35, and like, if you had a great, beautiful drive, you shouldn't. You should be able to put something on the scoreboard, right?
Yeah.
To get. Well, so that's what a field goal is, right?
Some of these better kickers are kicking. If you get to the 35, they can kick a 60.
I know.
It's just mind-blowing.
I think I heard that like one guy made like I think they've had the longest kick recently, and then I think
yes.
I heard, yeah, which was like for a while. Remember, it was the guy with that didn't have the complete foot for like Green Bay, and it was like a 65. So now I think like 68 is probably the longest one, I think.
Oh, yeah. So, that's just incredible. How do you kick something back with that ball?
I don't know, and I've tried to do it, and it is. I've tried to do it just as an extra point. Even kicking an extra point is not easy. And what I always wonder, and actually a very good quarterback that got a lot of flack, I'm not going to name who it is, but he, a lot of times the quarterback, because he's used to taking the snap, is the one that holds for the kicker.
Wow.
How do they do that? So many, I mean, it's just through repetition, but it's just amazing that more balls, don't watch this weekend, because just because I said this, like the universe is going to have fun where there's going to be like five snaps through, but it's just amazing that it happens so quick. You catch the ball, it's there, and then it's amazing that just like more balls don't go, more things don't go awry when there's so many moving parts at such a speed, and it's humans catching it.
Just tuck and bingo.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to talk American football. I'm going to say Lawrence Taylor is the best defensive player I ever saw, and I'm going to say Elway is the most talented quarterback that I ever saw. I think in the end of the game, you want the ball in Montana's hands, but I think...
I like Brett Favre.
Favre was amazing. He's honestly number three on that list. I'll tell you a Favre story that I remember. I'll tell you what I know about Brett Favre is that he, after the Packers, and he won a Super Bowl there, he played for... I got to see him on the football field, which hopefully I'll have kids, I'll be like, I got to see Brett Favre if they're into sports. What I remember about Favre is, I remember particular throws. Like, I remember particular plays really good. I was supposed to play college football, I ended up playing rugby. That's even more fun. But well, it's not more fun. It's just at the level I was at, that's where I ended up. So I remember on a Monday night game, Favre from like the freaking like 40-yard line throws a dart. You couldn't have thrown it any better. I think it was Percy Harvin that caught it right in the back line of the end zone. And I'm pretty sure I said out loud to the universe, he's the best quarterback in the league again. Because I think he may have taken a year off between Green Bay and Minnesota, but that throw is one that like I'm like, that's unbelievable.
He was excited.
Yeah.
He would always do something.
Him and who's the speedster? I actually heard him speak. He spoke at my company. Steve Young was like, Favre could like roll out and throw it across the field, right? Or just, he would just chuck it down the field, and you're like, there's no way, and the guy would catch it, right?
Yes. Well, I've just been watching some of the athleticism on the football field. And the other night, I was watching somebody, and the quarterback was running for the goal. He not only vaulted over the defensive player, he did a front flip into the end zone.
There was a guy from the wide receiver from, I've seen that before, there was a guy about 15 years ago, the first time I saw that, it was a wideout for the Bengals. Now I don't watch that play, but he did that. That's the first time I ever saw that, where he just went front flip over.
He like vaulted over the defender, and then he did a front flip into the end zone.
What game was this?
Just a couple nights ago.
It was the QB that did that?
Yeah. And I could not believe that he did that.
I wonder if it's a game I thought the team lost, but they didn't. Because I have a tendency to do this. Maybe why radio is okay for me is that I like... And sometimes on sets I'm good at improvising, but I tend to like, I get so excited talking to people that I cut people off a little bit. And maybe the person that I really like to talk about sports with, she's like, you know, what is he doing? And I just went down. I'm like, I knew I should have watched that game. And I think I like, I think I screwed myself with too much caffeine in my mouth that ran. Did you have a team growing up? Were you a Niners fan growing up, or who did you root for?
For a while, from the time that...
I just say Niners because you're from Sierra.
From the time that Madden was in... That Ken Staben was playing for the Raiders.
Raiders. That's awesome.
I was into the Raiders because...
The snake. Fred Biletnikoff, right? The whiteout?
Unbelievable. They would go out and get drunk and then show up the next day and play it.
It was like the 60s Yankees with Billy Martin. I know, that team.
Unbelievable. They didn't adhere to curfew or anything like that. And I couldn't believe they'd come out and just kick ass. It was John Madden who did it. I mean,
who was the really big hitter, the defensive back that they had?
They had one really good, series.
I feel like, what about the team? It was Matusak and Lyle Alzado on the defensive line, right? I feel like.
Yeah. They were a great team. I think Madden just ran into the right people. But he also knew how to just... Yeah, well, I like the Kansas City Chief coach.
Oh, Hank Stram?
This guy.
Oh, no, the Andy Reid? He's amazing.
Yeah, this guy is... Boy, he can figure out more plays and more... I love what he does.
I had to deal with him... Yeah, he coached Philly for a long time, and the team I like is the NFC East. And you're just making me realize I'm a Cowboy fan, and I'm a Cowboy fan. I grew up in New York State. My dad was in the Air Force, and he loves Staubach because he was in the Navy. And it's always great being a Cowboy fan because they're always in the news. But then if we're not, I went through some until I was in high school. Our teams were very bad. It was the end of the Dorsett era. It was Danny White at court. The Danny White to Steve Pelor transition. I remember, and Tony Dorsett at the end of his career before he went to Denver.
I did like Tom Landry as a coach. He always wore a suit and hat.
He's the one, I think he was the originator of the 4-3 defense, which like he really...
He told people not to celebrate, not to over-celebrate. And then,
he's very conservative, and there was a very... Because there was so much love for him, and he won a couple Super Bowls. I think he won two Super Bowls that was like... When the new brash guys came in, and football's such an interesting... It's funny, like, athletes we look up to, and, like, whether they're best or not, like, you can somewhat tell a little bit about a person by what athletes they like. So, also teams, it was funny. My dad, I love my dad's Mike Mahiro, but he was like, during the 80s, American football, it was Notre Dame and Miami when those teams were and Notre Dame had Ragib Ishmael, and I'm the brash big mouth, and my dad that's not that conservative, and my dad was the conservative, like he called Willie Nelson a hairbag, and I was like, Dad, my dad was the Perry Como crooner. I mean, he had all these great qualities, but like very, like let's call Tam Lundry very staid, very traditional, if that's the word, which oftentimes, I mean, those are the guys that you want. I do like
listening to Lawrence Welk.
He's
watched Lawrence Welk on TV almost every time.
Can I call that schmaltz though? Like, what would you call the music Lawrence Welk? Because it's not very.
It's called champagne music. That's why he has the bubble.
The love boat. Soon we'll be making another run.
He had all the, he was Polish, but he had all the,
he was a band leader, that's what he was.
He had a variety of acts. There was Del Wood on the piano, there was Pete Fountain on the clarinet, there was, a guy who sang really deep.
I want to call it music that's not going to make your grandparents angry.
It wouldn't. A one and a two end up.
So what do you think, like Lawrence Welk and a guy like Elvis are incompatible, I feel like, right? Or not? I don't know a lot about this.
I really don't know. Because he was doing polkas and waltzes and that was the music of the time.
But was it? I don't think so. That's what I'm saying. That's why I brought up Elvis, because I feel like those two intersected and they were complete opposites, where nowadays what I like about music can bring everyone together. Like I just saw, I think nowadays, like, people that listen to hard rock are also listening to hip hop, and they're making those connections, and it's crossing like cultural boundaries, class boundaries, race boundaries, all these things. Where I feel like I'm reading this one now about the history of the Cramps, who got into super rockabilly style, which is country music. I mean, what would you say?
Rock and roll beat.
With a rock and roll beat. And I feel like Lawrence Welk has no rock and roll beat, maybe steeped in jazz, kind of a smoother jazz.
Yeah, he was very smooth.
Yeah.
He wanted everything.
Mellifluous, you might say.
Yeah, that's the word.
Champagne music, you called it.
Yes, that's what he called it.
And it's not... It's not for everyone, nor is every music for everyone.
Well, I think Paul Simon influenced a lot of crossover.
Ooh, tell me, with African styles for sure, right?
Yes. Well, yeah, he was a rhythmic person. You know, everything he did had so much rhythm to it.
Where do you think he got that from? I want to read a book about him.
I don't know. Remember him doing Me and Julio Down by the Schoolyard? And
had Chevy Chase in it. That's partly why I got my I go by Fiat Chase on the air. I'm like, I'm Chevy Chase, but I'm Italian. Yeah. And that was something. I feel like 80s pop music was so innovative, and now the pop music's not. Now that one, I heard that song recently. I feel like, can you do, you must be able to do, what about what's that one?
I'd have to play it with
have it heard. Yeah.
A while, and then I could get into the groove.
I wish I had it. I used to bring my phone sometimes and play off my phone, and I could have pulled up. You know what I was thinking? And I'm not. Sometimes I'm a singer of some, good singer of some songs, not a good singer of other songs. But he has one. Can never remember. It's one of his more popular. But I'm trying to. You know the only living boy in New York. Do you know that? I think that's the name of his song. It's just beautiful.
Probably one that I missed.
Ah.
You know, I listen to a variety, but I don't dig deep into all the stuff that people do.
He married this neat lady, and you know, you want to know something? You'll love this. His wife, Edie Brickell, they just renewed their vows like 10 years ago, which I think is so cute. She had a pop hit in the 1990. And then it just, this cute song from the album, not that song, but it came into my, I'm sure same happens to you, like, I'm not going to tell the audience what I had in my head today, the song-wise. I'm a little bit embarrassed, but it's just how it was. But an Edie Brickell song popped in my head. It's called Circle. It's a really cute song. And I searched it on YouTube. The video takes place in Cafe Trieste. And I'm like,
oh,
I know that mural. So if you Google, you'll be able to remember this. Paul Simon's wife's, even though I'm sure they're equal parts, not what to say, but he's more known. Paul Simon's wife's video in Cafe Trieste, I'm sure that will pop up. And what a treat that was, because how much time have I spent there? You know, like, whoa!
You know, I was watching the PBS the other night.
Yeah.
And it was a Willie Nelson special.
Oh, cool.
And Willie Nelson and Keith Richards did a song together. And that was hot.
I believe it. I think someone told me about that recently.
That was really hot.
He was, I think I distract myself a lot. I get to talking, but when you brought up Willie Nelson, one of my coworkers played this song, and I was like, I know he's a great musician. I had no idea that he was that good of a guitar player. He can be that good of a guitar player, but all of his popular songs don't necessarily let you know that. And maybe that's a pop song. Pop songs aren't always, they're just catchy and good. You're not always going to get the like, whoa.
No, he's definitely a wordsmith.
He he's cool, and he's and everyone likes him. And you know what? Did he start Farm Aid? That might have been his venture.
Yes,
that's so cool. I mean, talk about like changing people's lives. You know what I mean? Like that's what music can do.
Yes, and at that time he was running around in a bus running on ethanol.
That's really cool. What happened to the what happened to the diesel veggie diesel things?
I don't know because. You know, he outfitted his bus and he was picking up grease at restaurants as he was on tour all around. He stopped at the restaurant and filled up with grease.
Something happened. I'm just thinking, like, the right people weren't making... It was taking money from the wrong pockets, probably, something. Like, I always wonder what happened to the I called it veggie diesel, but it was... What would you call it? I forgot what they called it, but, like, it was good. Yes. Hey, Sean, wait till you meet this individual. This guy is a musician in his own right. This is what... I'm going to make a request. I'm going to make a request. If you know any Paul Simon on the guitar... comes in, I just like lay it on him. This gentleman, Sean's here, everybody. So,
interesting.
And I haven't seen you in like 3 weeks. I feel
yeah,
like.
Yeah, man, what's up?
I've been thinking about you. It's
you
nice.
Cut out early, or have you been here?
No, I cut out early a couple times because I'm sure you felt like this. It's like my show is as good as it. It was a good show, and then I'm like,
no,
anything
wait,
I after that.
Fucking bitter end, man. That's me.
No. See, that's why Bughouse Square sucks, you guys, because it's really a 58-minute. It's an hour and 48-minute show, and he squeezes the last 12 minutes, which ruins your show. So the last 12 minutes. I'm just kidding. I love Bughouse. I heard your show
really?
Two Sunday nights ago, and I loved it. It was like you played fucking Cat Stevens. Yeah.
What was your show?
I was at work, and I was like, boom.
Good for you.
Yeah. So,
well, it's good to see you, man. I was worried about you a little
bit. We haven't seen
you. You need my worry. You got enough trouble without me worrying about you.
You worrying about me might help, actually. I should probably worry about me. I got thrown out of the library, and it's a story that cannot be told, but I put it in writing. And
out of the library washing your chonies in the sink? What happened?
No. I made some art, and I taped it up. And it was art that not everyone appreciates. Yeah.
Can't have that.
That's Sean.
You fiddle player?
Yeah. He wrote in a note to tell me to come down here this morning when he saw me at the Civic Center.
Okay.
And he said, don't worry. And I told him, fingers don't fret.
No. Really?
Not at all.
Stanley has been playing.
Have you played something so far?
Oh, he has. He's been playing for 50 years.
No, tonight for your show, has he played anything? All right.
Yeah, I've been playing since I came in.
It's all Lawrence Welk. All he will play is Lawrence Welk, and it has just... I'm just making fun of him. I'm like, this is speech maltz, dude. Like, play something good. No, he's played... Okay, Fats Waller, he's played. He's played Mexicali Rose.
Fats Waller. I think I have a Fats Waller record in my...
No! Do you want to play along to one? What do you... He likes doing that. Wait, whatever you guys want
to
do. Actually...
I'm going to the store,
let's go through Sean's. Leave the record bag. Can't go to the store or anything. No, I was trying to take... I don't want to mess with your rhythm. Yeah, but I'm trying to take your store visit away. You do it every week.
Oh,
I feel bad.
Yeah, but with the fiddle player that goes to
Chappelle.
Yeah.
Feel free. He'll be here. You can go to the store, Sean. I tried to take your store mission away. I would love that. that called?
Honeysuckle Rose.
Wow. By who?
Stephen Capelli style.
Oh, and so Capelli plays with Django. Wow.
Yeah. That's swing. They had a band in called the Hot Club of Paris.
That's a really... Yeah, because that's... And my great aunt is from Paris, and I'm so... I was going to bring a book with me today or yesterday. I have a book about, like, Paris in the 20s and 30s, and that's, yeah, like, I up into the, like, 50s and 60s and 70s, I, like...
30s swing.
Wow. Do you know who Henry Miller is? Have you ever heard of this guy? He's a writer. Henry Miller is a writer who was born in Brooklyn, wrote Tropic of Cancer, moved to Paris, and there's this fantastic book that I feel like you could be not just an extra, you could just be in this movie. It's called Henry in June, and it's Fred Ward playing Henry Miller and Uma Thurman playing his wife June, and they are just around all these artists, you know, and you have the is it the Thames? What's the Seine?
Oh, yeah, it's the Thames.
And
the one that goes to France.
And they're just, you know, there's shots of them in the shadows, making out in the shadows, and it's just a very... So Django, I don't know a ton about him, but my friend rips playing Django on the guitar. What is his story? Where was he born? How long was he in Paris?
He was in Gypsy.
So Romania? Or just...
Yes.
Okay.
And he was injured in a fire, and on his fret, and he lost his fingers, and so that's when he
had to adopt, and he made a different style.
The style came from him playing through his injuries. He's got incredible rhythms, his accents. His accents on everything is just...
What is it, to a lay person that's not a musician, what does an accent mean when you're playing guitar?
Syncopation, backup, variation in rhythm.
That's what I was thinking. Right. And I love that. And I'm trying to think of I don't have much. Today is kind of an interesting day for the music I brought, but I'm trying to think of a song that does it for me, where it's just like out of nowhere, it just switches gears and you're blown away, right? Like that's sort of the yeah.
Yeah, I know what you sort of mean. I sort of know what you're saying, but I don't think I can't put it in words.
You could put it into words. Yeah, I'm just trying to think of a song that's an example of... I mean, you physically actually do it, but I'm thinking of, like... I mean, maybe I'll look through my bag. Maybe I can play one more record in the time Sean gets back. I don't know. I'm not good at getting the speaker. I can't... I don't know. I'm still working on the... I'm not going to play a record because I can't get the speakers. I'm going to have Sean show me again. You know what I like to do is usually I'm alone here, right? So I like... dance around, but it has to be with the headphones. But like really hearing the speaker in the last few, I've only had the speaker on once where I can like hear it throughout the whole building. Was there a place like that you played at, a bar or something, that you were like really impressed? I know very little about sound, but I went to a club recently and I was blown away by the sound that they had there, that they did. Is there a place that you remember, even as from like 1987 or like last year, that you were like, I went in and the you know, they did a really great job wherever it was?
Well, I was in a place in Las Vegas called Sam's Town.
Okay.
And they had line dancing.
Cool.
And this, I like it because it looks like the people are on ice skates or something. They're so... And the sound in there was probably as well, good as I've heard.
How about the music? You like the music too?
Well, they were playing all the Western swing, boot, skip, and boogie type stuff, so the people could line dance to it.
What's a contra dance? What is that?
Line dance.
I was wondering because I got invited.
You get in line and they all do the same steps at the same time.
Now, can you go? Is it all throughout the whole? Because I'll admit that I was a little bit nervous going to the contra dance, and it was probably like a weird social situation. But like, I didn't really stay that long. So like, can you if you see a lass or laddie or they that you like, can you go and can you or did you, can you make moves during the?
This is pre-planned. It's pre-planned. It's learned. You learn the steps to certain dances. And then everybody does them simultaneously.
No grinding.
No.
I know, but I'm wondering, what if you, I'm serious now, like picture the situation where like your crush is like right there, and then like, you know, Enrique Iglesias' third cousin five times removed is over there, and he's looking at her too, and you're like, well, I better, you know, like, right. But you're all doing it by yourself, so you can't. But, like, so is it a faux pas to, like, go and you gotta... Maybe you can say, like, come on, we gotta go churn the butter. And then she'll be like, what? Like, no.
Well, I don't know about... I don't know. Isn't that, like, hip-hop?
I don't know. Sean will know. Sean, hypothetical situation. We're at a line dance. My crush is there. So... I'm looking and I'm like, but we're dancing in a line, can only dance by myself. And then I see to my right, Enrique Iglesias' third cousin, five times removed, also looking at my crush. So can I just go up? How do I, but in the middle of the line dance? Like, we can't be line dancing together because then it's more like a, so like, how do I go say like, hey, we got to go churn butter right now? Like, is that the move? At the
I don't know. I guess, you know, just be polite. I don't know.
What if he's more polite and faster?
I have to pee.
I was there before you did.
No, it's not going to happen. Don't take it back.
I don't know. We used to say you would tap the guy on the shoulder and cut in. That used to be...
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right. You used to tap a guy on the shoulder and take over his dance space.
But then it's up to the lady, right? Don't isn't the gentlemanly thing you both have to look at her and it's her call, right?
Well, the gentlemanly thing is to submit. Let the guy.
No, see, I would look at look at her. Nowadays, I think now the society would be like, nowadays, she would probably be like, I'm going to go with whatever guy that I want. But back in the day, it was probably like you had to cede to the... Sean, you didn't tell me about cutting in. He's telling me about cutting in, and so...
But,
it used to be if you tapped the guy on the shoulder, you could take
a... Oh, cutting in for the dance? Yeah. I mean...
During the dance.
I don't know. I'm kind of insecure, man. If someone can't cut in, I'd be like, I don't know.
I'm thinking you leave it. You make it's up to the it's the lady's choice at that call, right?
I think so. Yeah. Unless,
but 100 years ago, you probably didn't have a choice. It was probably like it custom ruled.
Fucking may have to duel it out or something.
Yeah. Isotoner gloves come out. Did they have isotoners back then? All right, here we go. This is like this is the best Happy Horseshit show that's ever happened, that ever will happen, that ever can happen. Sean's pretty good.
Someone's fucking with the tuning.
I was playing it a little bit, which was probably the problem. It's pretty close, I feel like.
I was trying to find...
You got a pitch thing? You can give me like an A or something?
Well, I can give you a note.
Yeah, give me an A.
Aww.
How about an E?
That was a G.
Oh, shit. You know, I don't know what this is. things ever been, like, brought up to pitch or not?
Oh, well, that's, yeah.
If I get it tuned up to itself, can you play with me, or?
Probably so.
Okay.
Well, I can adjust it too. We can play it as long as they're, as long as they coincide, we're in good shape.
This is a serious music fan, Fiat Chase, watching good musicians about to jam. What if Vanilla Ice walked in right now? Do we let him cut in or no? I say no. And the jokes get bad at this time of night. Ladies and gentlemen.
Two steps?
Yes. That's a G. I'm taking a G.
I think I'm learning something. That's good. Sean's going to prepare. Hey, it's so nice to see you. Thank you. Everyone.
Man, that's good. I'd love to play with you, but I got to do.
I might even.
Yeah, that's quite right.
I'm even going to play. Okay, so I've been playing off this disc. I'm going to play Cat Power now and get out of Sean's way really quick. So I love Cat Power. I got to see her at. Stern Grove, and I didn't know she was on this. This is music by Junior Kimbrough, and I've played Heartless Bastards off this, and I played Jack Oblivion, I think. And so I just, Pete Yorn's in here, so I see Entrance, which I'd never heard of, and Cat Power. So this is called Do the Romp, and it's off Sunday Night's Music of Junior Kimbrough.
What's your name again, ma'am?
Oh, Stanley.
Stanley Sean.
This morning I told him my name.
See, Sean's trying to one up. He's going to have him on Bughouse Square, and it's going to be a better show. So Sean's cutting in on me right now. You can do whatever you want. It's so nice to see Sean. We would love to have Stanley back. I know. So, Stanley, sounds manly. Come by Happy Horseshit today, 22nd in Valencia, in the Mission. You can play live. I'll be bringing records, CDs, and Barry Manilow's little person porn stunt double. Don't worry, he's trained. Fiat. That's my sense of humor. No one really, everyone's, the universe is going to cut in on me, and I'm going to fall on my face after that. All right, here's Cat Power. Signing off, Happy Horseshit. Up next, Bughouse Square. Thank you, Stanley. Stanley, you want to say anything to everyone?
Just say... So long.
You were the best. Thank you very much. Thanks. And go see him at the Civic Center. When? 7:30 to 9:30 usually there? 7?
Usually there 7 to 9.
7?
7 to
9.
Yeah.
7th Street, Park.
Morning commute.
Morning commute.
In the Civic Center. That's why I'm the sub dude.
He's the sub dude.
Fine down there.
Ha, right on.
Lay around, babe.